Maryland sports fans, there's only one sports book in the great state of Maryland with over 50 years experience booking bets and supporting customers. Betfred Sportsbook at Longshots is now open and is the only sports book in Frederick offering cash betting on football, basketball, world soccer, and more. Visit the Betfred Sportsbook at I-270 and MD-85 in Frederick, right next to Longshots off-track betting. Go to BetfredSports.com for more information and your chance to win exclusive merchandise. Must be 21 or older. Play responsibly. For help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I've never apologized to a toilet before. Oh, dear. Yes, there's a message for room 228. Now, if it's a noise, smell, or flooding complaint, I can explain.
You're listening to the Cobras and Fire Podcast, part of the Pantheon Podcast Network, featuring your hosts, Elsie Fox and Baco.
Welcome to Cobras and Fire. My name is Baco, and I am joined with the flip-floppy, what are we calling you this week? LLC? Little LBS? Pounds?
Yeah, I'm not sure how far I'm going to take this. I am flip-floppy. It's also nice out, so that's kind of nice too, right?
Yeah, right on.
Little flip-flop action. Little smelling of the feet. It's now in season. If you can
smell
catch
that,
a
baby.
Whiff of the corns. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you clipped your toenails? Are you ready for summer?
I did actually 2 days ago. Let me ask you this, Luce. How often do you clip your toenails?
I clip my toenails when they start cutting through my socks, I believe, is basically where you put on a pair of socks and it slices right through the side. You're like, that big toe, when it turns into a knife, it's time to clip. What do you think?
You know, people used to repair their socks. They called it darning the socks, but...
fuck that. Go get some new socks, man.
Yeah. I thought Jerry Seinfeld had the best answer on an episode of Seinfeld, and it was every 2 to 8 weeks. And that's pretty – it was weird when he says that. I thought to myself, I was like, because, fingernails are about weekly. It's pretty regular, but it seems like toenails don't really grow at a consistent rate. And maybe it's the lack of, natural light.
natural light. That's what it is. They're like plants. During the summer, they expand. I'd like to look that up on some kind of medical journal about solar power in toenails.
Let's do something we haven't done before. Let's task one of our listeners with that job. Who do you think would be the? I mean, Sean Cullen, David Cathy.
No, I think that the person that I always like to task. Things with any kind of activity we need done is Andy Schall.
The last time I saw a body like yours, I was buried in my basement.
Because if I need somebody to sing, I think we go with Sean Cullen. I think he needs to do the research. He's We haven't asked him to do anything yet. I think toenails should be the ask.
What an honor.
Right.
All right, let us know, Sean. How fast do toenails grow, and are they affected by like wearing sandals instead of tennis shoes?
Hold on. I just open spilled toe. Coffee. Hold on.
That's going to be the Easter egg.
I've officially made it, I think, 4 years without ever spilling coffee on my desk here, and I just did it.
I was just thinking about a rookie move that is, because, like, I don't know how many times I spilled beer and I never stopped the show.
Well, this also,
back in the day,
carpet. Stains carpet, bro. Hold on.
When did you put carpet in there? So there's your assignment, Sean.
Yeah. It also, we'd like to know, where do you cut your fingernails and toenails? Because what do you do? Do you stand over the toilet and hope that they flick right off of your thumb into the proper place? Or do you just let them fly, let parts of your body just like lay around the house? Where do you do it?
Do you want to know what my answer would be or what wife would say I do?
Okay, well, both. Either one.
Amy would say I just basically do it as near to her as I possibly can and just, you know, let them fucking, you know, shoot off. She's always
disgusting.
Like warning the cats, like, look out, daddy's cutting his toenails. Like,
no.
But yeah, no, typically, I do it. I do it in the living room over a newspaper, and then I ball it up and throw it in the trash.
Absolutely disgusting. So the answer to that for all civilized humans is outside. That's the only place you do it. I don't care if it's a dead of winter. You walk your ass outside, and you let your pieces of your body fly into the yard.
You are just such a little Nancy boy. I mean, they're just toenails. I'm not leaving them out. You know what I mean?
There's nothing worse.
Over a receptacle to catch them and then immediately disposing of it.
Mm-hmm.
I just
need to
watch some TV because it takes a while. My toenails are pretty thick.
Okay. So we'll end this segment with proper hygiene and self-care is outside for toenails and for fingernails, and also always finish with a wet wipe, and we'll move on from here.
Yes. Plumbers, by the way, would recommend you don't do that. So only use a wet wipe in public restrooms. Otherwise, you might have a bit of a bill coming your way.
There are flushable ones. Or just fill.
Well, they understand that flushable is not like a technical term. That just means it will go down a toilet. You know what else is flushable? Marbles.
Yeah.
You know who told me that? A plumber.
Those are more rollable.
Yeah, but I'm saying they meet the standard that is a strict standard of using the word flushable on a package. So,
well, how about this then? How about if you take like...
In other words, there's no such thing.
I will tell you that I'll counter that with say, let's say that you take you yourself are very clean, and then what you do is when you're done with that last wet wipe, just put it in the trash can. What do you think about that?
You have a problem with my toenail process. You got smeared poop in your trash can next to you like fucking a baby. I have a, I think, a pretty highbrow Cobra hack.
Mmm, highbrow. Starting with the high.
This,
I like it.
This is one that would actually be beneficial to, I don't know, politicians or city leaders, or, you know, state officials, things of that nature.
Right. The majority of our listeners.
Well, and it came to light recently, through tragedy, I might add, that young man was shot by a cop who thought she was using a taser up in Brooklyn Park here in the Twin Cities.
Right.
That is, you know, I don't know, it's about 15 miles from where I'm at. But before I explain something here, let me just explain, kind of try to draw a picture for the listener. So the Twin Cities metro area, let's just say it's a square, and right through the middle of the square is the interstate. You know, going north south. That's 35. Sure. Cutting through the middle the other way. So now you've got four equal cubes, is another interstate, and then surrounding the entire square is a connected interstate. So basically, you can drive around or through, and getting to most of the suburbs, that is the way you go, including Brooklyn Park. You can get there through side streets and things of that nature. I'm sure Andy Schall knows the best route from North Minneapolis heading up there.
You should get a boob job to be a complete package, don't you know?
Typically, especially if you don't live there, but you have to go there for something, let's say a protest that may turn into a riot.
Okay.
You would take this freeway system, depending on where you're coming from, but you're going to be on the, and you're going to be exiting there. Otherwise, you're going to be, your trip's going to be super, super long. So, the protest did turn kind of violent outside the police station there for a couple days. And then that led up to the weekend where supposedly a pre-planned freeway construction started at like 10 o'clock on Friday night. And did not end until 5 a.m. Monday morning. And there was no protesting or riots during those few days. So I'm like, hey, man, why don't we just do this every time? It's like, sorry, you guys got to go. We are going to tear this entire street up this week and rebuild the sewer. You know what I mean? So you're going to have to. And just so basically you put all these like major inconveniences to just be able to get there to protest. And then the protests will be more spread out and a little thinner populated, less likely to turn
interesting.
Violent.
Interesting. So you're going, this is definitely highbrow. So you're just saying like wherever the looting will possibly happen, you just shut that area down completely to get to it? That's what you're saying?
Yeah, but you shut it down with like big machines and like, you know, road construction. You make it you make it impossible to get to because of like, you know, there's a grader and a work crew, you know?
Right. So you're saying your solution is to make looting inconvenient. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. No, I'm not attacking protesting in general. Not really my cup of tea, but, you know, I do think it's an important part of being an American citizen, at least having that right to. But I'm not a big fan of riots or looting.
Well, no, I know. But I'm saying, like I think you have something there where you're like, okay, you got your cinder block and everything like that, and you're like, okay, I'm going to throw this cinder block through the Dollar Tree. But if it's going to take me an extra 15 minutes to get to that Dollar Tree, I might not do it.
There we go.
You know what I mean? Like you're packing up your Molotov cocktails, your cinder block. I mean, there's a lot of stuff when you go looting, right?
And not only that, but like by congesting traffic and then the GPS doesn't know, you find out, what do you mean this exit's closed?
Right.
And now you got to go way out of your way, and then you have other shit kind of, you just have the worst, set up the worst detour, and then the people just get frustrated and run out of steam and go home.
But I'm thinking that also this will actually kind of just like the actual damage will be spread out more because, you know, if I'm going to go loot something and I'm stuck in a traffic jam, I might just take that cinder block and throw it on the car in front of me and everything like that or whatever like that and be like, I'm done. I've already done my destruction. Now who's involved now? State Farm, you're taking it off of the whole city budget. There's no buildings being hurt. It's just cars. You are moving the damages over to a whole different expense center. As a city leader, this would be an amazing hack. What do you think?
I think you just made it even better. You pointed out some like maybe unintended consequences.
Or I have one even better though. Instead of just the highways, you make some of the most fucked up detours signs you've ever seen. That keeps, you know what I mean? When you close a road out.
Well, that's what I was saying. I actually just said that a minute ago. Like, have just the worst detour set up, And like I said, their GPS doesn't know. And yeah, they just keep going nowhere, and they never really get to where they want.
Mm-hmm. You know, and then you're like, eh, I'm going to go home.
Might suck if you live there and you're just trying to get home, but you know, it's a small price to pay.
Yeah, you're like,
I'm guessing if you live there, you and Andy Shaw know the best route side roads to go there.
Oh, yeah. You know, my couch pulls out, but I don't, you know.
I can see most people just being exhausted and saying, I'm just going to go home and watch a marathon of King of Queens.
Our social media and stuff. We're out there on Twitter. Of course, we have our Facebook page. We have the website. We didn't mention that at the beginning there that we are now a member of the Pantheon podcast, so we should probably bring that up, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. Pantheon, the premier music podcast mob. Yes?
Yeah, once again, we are basically riding the coattails of Decibel Geek. So
and others.
Sure, yeah. I mean, actually... I was giving the intro to the gentleman there at Pantheon that through my friends at the Shout Out Loudcast, Zeus and Tom.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah, and my brain paused because I was typing while I was talking there. Zeus and Tom. It wasn't that. Unlike Luce, I can only do one thing at a time.
Fair enough.
Where you need to be doing 93 things at once. Otherwise, you know, it's just not the right thing.
Yes. Yeah, no, I mean, we are one of, I don't know, 40 or 50 shows now mm-hmm. of different genres of music. And, you know, there's other shows on there that I've enjoyed, such as History in Five Songs by Martin Popoff. You've got our, like we just mentioned, Decibel Geeks on there. I believe they're being involved with the Rock and Pod Expo. We've got, who else on there? The Hustle.
Mm, right. Yeah, John Lamoureux.
Yep.
I was actually fortunate enough to be a guest on The Hook a couple months back. That's a pretty good show I've enjoyed. Let's see. Well, of course, you know, I mentioned the Shout Out Loudcast. Probably, if we were to be Kiss-centric, that's probably pretty close to how we would handle it. They're pretty sarcastic, except for I'm not sure I would go to shows. Maybe you still would, but... Hanging and banging with the Apathy of Peace Brothers. I still don't get that. They literally introduced themselves on their same show by pronouncing their last name differently.
At some point, one chose the other, and they just went with it.
I guess.
The whole, yeah.
But yeah, Vinny Bizarre, and Carmine. Right? Vinny Apathy and Carmine of Peace.
It is confusing to this day. But
hanging and banging, baby. Couple of drummers talking about hitting shit with sticks.
Sure. Yeah, so essentially...
and I, too, am a fan of the Martin Popoff show.
Mm-hmm. And this means that if you subscribe to... We'll give you more information about the benefits of this partnership later, but one of the immediate benefits if you are a Spotify user is if you just subscribe to the Pantheon podcast feed, you'll get all these shows, including ours, will pop up in your feed for our latest episode going forward.
So, yeah, head on over to pantheonpodcast.com. That is P-A-N-T-H-E-O-N cobrasandfirepodcast.com and check out all the shows. You'll find us there along with all the other ones we mentioned, plus a lot more that we haven't got into yet. So, and I got to do more of a deep dive on our fellow Pantheoners, so to speak. So I've had a chance to check out a few of the shows, but I definitely need to get further into it. That said, we have our own little social media group that I'd like to plug, Cobras on Fire. You can find that on Facebook. If you follow the show and you're on Facebook, you should join our community. It's basically just kind of, it's a private group, and it's sort of show-related conversations between ourselves and the listeners.
Even if you were somewhat new to the show, join that group, because if you're just on our regular page, like you know on Facebook, you're going to miss 9 out of the 10 things we post.
Yeah.
But if you're in the group and you're interested, you can get everything.
Yeah, you can really set it to what you want, you know what I mean,
Correct.
As far as the notifications, where, yeah, that's a great point. And the algorithm with Facebook on just standard pages, you know, kind of, you
Pretty
have
bad.
To hunt it out yourself, to be honest with you, just to kind of scroll through it, so.
Yeah, we really, most of the things that we really post in the group first, so, anyway. Continue, please, about the rules.
Yeah, and just but if you do want to join, we do have some rules, and it's actually only one rule. It's be kind and courteous. And as you actually wrote the description here, act like Fonzie here. And what's Fonzie like? Fonzie's cool. Healthy debates are natural, but be cool. So, and you know what? For the most part, that's been the experience of the group. So kudos to our members. I think we've curated our audience well. LC, so hats off to them for basically, I don't know, just being nice people.
Being cool, debating, having fun.
Don't report us to SoundCloud because you're sad.
Yeah, just do your job. Do your job. Be a good group member. You know, share our genius with the world. Debate, have fun, but be cool. Pretty clear, right?
Yeah, man. I mean, we're not spending time blocking people. I mean, so no. Everybody's just pretty chill, man.
Yeah. So, but there are others that have more, I don't know, more lengthy.
Other groups?
Yeah, other groups. Do you mind if I bring one into the mix?
I can't wait.
Okay. So, you know, just like I said, that the algorithm that Facebook gives you suggestions and things like that. So the other day, I was suggested that I should probably join this group called Three Sides of the Coin, or a coin. Which is it? A coin or the coin?
It says the coin, but...
Okay, the coin.
So you got my invite.
Okay. But so I thought that was amusing. So I was like, okay, I've heard some things about this group. We've talked about them a few times, so...
I used to be a member of the group, yeah. You actually
right.
gave me the most obviously sage advice of my life. It's like, why are you still in that group?
Because it made you mad.
Yeah,
right?
I was like, what one of the hosts called me an idiot for making a very salient point, by the way.
We'll go into that in a second.
Yeah.
But the fact is, if you're not familiar, which I'm going to say you probably know, but it is a KISS podcast. And if you're a KISS fan, maybe you're interested in joining this group, learning some news about the band. And things like that. So I clicked on it and I was like, oh boy, what's this about? And the first thing I saw was one of the things that shows up when you're possibly going to join a group, which I did not, were the rules, which I found interesting. So we shared our rules. This is
and just to remind people, our rule was be nice. That's it.
Would you like me to just read off of the group rules?
Yeah. If I wanted to rejoin the Three Sides of the Coin group, assuming I'm not banned, what would because I don't recall going through the rules that when I was originally a member. Is it a public or private group, by the way?
I'm not even sure. I didn't go that deep into it. I assume
right.
you have to be.
Who cares?
You have to apply and then.
Oh,
then
it says public. I'm looking at it here.
Oh, okay. So it's just a public. So it's different than ours, even,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's just a public group. All right. So I'm going to just read off the rules to you and just jump in if you would like. Number one, do not dominate the conversation with your views.
that rule gets violated on a daily basis in my experience.
Okay. Do not attack anyone. No personal attacks of any type.
Is calling someone an idiot a personal attack? I think I was called an idiot by the host of the show on that page, our group.
Okay. No hate.
You know, it's moving. A public group. Yeah, maybe I should be reading posts while you're doing this.
Okay. Yeah, it might be. No racial slurs.
I think that's an easy one, probably, because most KISS fans, they don't know the racial slurs that are out there.
Okay. They only know like one. That's it. They never learn the rest of them when they're growing up. They're they're too focused on the minutia of the recording.
The minutia.
Well, they don't know that word either. They you need to actually put that down to small details. Yeah. I'll translate to KISS fans.
Yeah, you got to understand, like, by using the word minutia on their show as much as they do, they've already, you know, broadened the vocabulary of, you know, most of their audience. So.
They actually think minutia is a racial slur for midget. What do you think?
Yeah, that's actually a racial slur for tiny pickles.
Respect other differing opinions.
I don't have a brand.
The people that host the show sure the fuck didn't write these rules.
No, this might be from Facebook's guide in general for groups.
Maybe some kind of like automatic autofill.
Maybe they didn't actually write these. Maybe these are just the default ones. If you don't want to change them, this is just the concept of a group. Okay, so keep going. If you were going to make a claim, be prepared to support it. I'm sorry. This is definitely written by them because it reads, if you are going to make a claim, be prepared to support if with facts. That's definitely written by the
Well, first of all, we know they mean it.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Yes, this was definitely written by the improper use of the word isn't that it's like, if you're going to make a claim, be prepared to support it with facts.
I don't have
We're talking
a
about fucking KISS here. What the fuck? Hey, what? Oh, whatever. Yeah, all it is people sharing their personal opinions on KISS and someone calling them a fucking idiot.
I don't have a
like,
friend.
How do you, what fact supports your opinion? I think Music from the Elders a good album. Really? Show me the facts. If you don't have facts,
there are no facts.
Get out of here, idiot.
Sir, you're definitely, I would kick you out. I would kick you out of our own group for making that claim. I've thought of it many times.
Oh, wow.
But my God, I mean, hold on for a second. Yeah. I just want to make sure you understand this.
That
this
one's
group
ridiculous.
Has been around for, I'm going to call it, at least 6 or 7 years. They've never proofread their own rules.
Right.
Just understand. Okay, next. No spam of any type.
Yeah, probably. I don't know. That's an easy one.
I don't know. There's a lot of KISS members that talk about some prince that wants them to invest and recommends them.
Well, they're just trying to share some great financial business opportunities today with their fellow Mensa members.
I would just like to see if most people that fall from that scam are from this group.
What do you think the average IQ of the members of this group are? I think two.
Boy, days. I'm going to say.
Chikini drags it down.
My eraser's well worn because I make a lot of mistakes.
Equal to or slightly less than Ted Nugent. Can we use that as the barometer?
Oh, nice.
Truth,
yes.
Logic, and common sense.
Okay. No off-topic comments.
Whatever.
Okay. Comments can be deleted. You can be blocked without warning. Again, that's grammatically incorrect on that sentence, but should have a comma.
Tommy Summers wrote that one.
Oh, he did? Yeah. Okay. All right. Any comments?
You want me to? I'll tell you what. Instead of commenting, I'll read that in Tommy Summers' voice. Comments can be deleted, and you can be blocked without warning. I'm just saying.
Ooh. Okay. Cool. How about this one? And finally, we'll just summarize. Please act like a mature adult.
Well, how many members does this group have? Zero? Because
I don't have a brand.
Everybody violates every single one of these at all times.
So, yeah, we need to amend some of these. So from the top there, it should be do dominate the conversation with your views. Do attack anyone. Personal attacks of any type are allowed. Hate.
Hate. Hate welcome.
Hate welcome. Let's go down to number five. Do not respect differing opinions. Number six, if you're like us and have no idea what the word facts mean, then make sure you make people supply them. And I think I'll just skip to number 10. It's like, we're all a bunch of big babies, so up yours.
I don't have a friend.
So what you're saying is at press time when this goes live, I think I'm going to join the group, submit my revised list of group rules and see how quickly I get banned. What do you think?
What I think you should do is join the group and then one by one violate these rules, screen cap it, and then see if you can actually get kicked off.
Oh, okay.
See how if you can make it to number 10, do them in order, and see if you make it all the way to number 10 without getting blocked, then we share that with the group.
So is my – I want to make sure. One of them is a little let's call it risque. Should my racial slur be saying the word minutia and see if somebody gets offended?
You know what? I'm trying to think. Probably cracker would be the safest racial slur.
Okay. That works.
I think you can go that way without really having some repercussions in your personal life.
Okay. Fair enough.
honky or cracker. Those are the two go with. I would stay away. I wouldn't tread any further than that.
That's fair. But just see if it works. See if they're enforcing it.
I don't have a friend.
I need some good songs to help me through the bad times. Melodies, some loud guitars, and words that rhyme. I don't need no symphony. Yes, just gotta breathe. All night long, a sweet love song about you and me. Let the bad times rock. Tied to those songs we love, the ones that you can't ever hear enough, the soundtrack of our hopes and dreams, the story of our lives wrapped in three-part harmony. Another sleepless night, another birthday stay. Just want to come back home. I need some good songs to get me through the bad times. A melody, some loud guitars, and words that rhyme. I don't need no symphony. Man, it's just gotta breathe. All night long, a sweet love song about you and me. Let the bad times rock. Let the bad times.
This August will rock as Rockin' Pod returns to Nashville. This annual convention brings together rock artists, fans, and podcasters for an unforgettable rock experience. Meet Billy Sheehan, Ron Keel, Ricky Rachtman, Mark Goodman, Matt Pinfield, Don Jameson of That Metal Show, drum legends Carmine Appice and Vinny Appice, along with current and former members of Winger, LA Guns, Accept, Roxy Blue, and more. Panels, signing sessions, and vinyl and memorabilia vendors all available to you at Rockin' Pod. Music podcasters from all over North America will be appearing on site for live interviews, networking, and speaking sessions. Got a music podcast? Register and join us. Rockin' Pod Weekend kicks off with a pre-party concert featuring former Tesla guitarist Tommy Scio and his new band Resist and Bite. Plus, Ron Keel Acoustic, Rock United, and a rare hair set featuring many surprise guests. Rockin' Pod Weekend, August 6th through the 8th in Nashville, Tennessee. Tickets, VIP, podcaster registration, and discounted hotel rooms are available now at rockandpod.com. Rockin' Pod, brought to you by DBG Productions, Brad Lee Entertainment, and Incaptia. So glad you came, I won't be
We got Rock and Pod coming up here at the first week of August. You and I will both be in attendance. So if you're a listener, you should come out and hang out with us. It's a good time. There's plenty of time between now and then for us to convince you and twist your arm. But we got a little promotional pieces to help Chris with that, you know, in the works. So,
If you hang out with us, there's a good chance you could share a meal with me. Not with Paco. He doesn't eat.
But, I do, like at 8 a.m. and then probably around midnight to 1 a.m. So
closer to the show, we'll be releasing our own personal schedules.
Itineraries.
Yes.
You would not believe how many naps this guy needs.
I'll have those listed.
Yeah. All right. A guy who's been, I believe, at every Rock and Pod, if not at least a couple of them, producer Michael Wagner. Also a really fun guest that's been on the Decibel Geek podcast a couple different times. He announced his retirement after 50 years. He basically is shutting his studio down, and he's going to, in his words, I believe, see the world. So I know a ton of records that still exist in a physical format in my house were produced by him. You want me to just hit some of my... I wouldn't even say... how about I list some of the big hitters, not necessarily my personal favorites?
Yeah, man. List them off.
All right. It's too long to go through a lot of them, so I'm just going to kind of hit some of the bigger ones. He worked with Accept quite a bit. Now, he's from Germany, so, you know, he's got that connection with them. But So Balls to the Wall, a pretty key record for that band. But he did... almost four or five other records with him, too. A couple of the Alice Cooper records he worked on as an engineer, Constrictor and Raise Your Fist and Yell. Bonfire, a band you're probably not familiar with, I'm guessing, but I really enjoy the Fireworks record, and he was a producer on that. Dokken, he had a good stretch of stuff working with them off and on, Breaking the Chains, Under Lock and Key as producer.
So he was not part of, not Beast from the East, but is another rhyming one. What was the big one?
Back for the Attack. Or
He didn't do that one?
No, I can't remember who that was, though, either.
Sorry, keep going.
Anyway, Extreme Porno Graffiti, or as almost everybody in the world mispronounced, Porno Graffiti. It's Porno Graffiti, people. Porno Graffiti. They even sing it that
me
way.
Me as well. Yes.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, he was a producer on that record. I know we both are a fan of that.
A
couple of the early Great White records. Keel, he did the self-titled, the third record from Keel. And I do think that is the best Keel record.
Gotcha.
I know he did some King's X stuff, so I'm sure Chris Sinzak has got an erection right now. Master of Puppets, he mixed. It's a very well-mixed record, that's for sure.
I would say, I'm just going to jump in there, the best sounding overall.
It's their best record, flat out. It's not my personal favorite. It really isn't. But everything is just perfect on that record. And that's not a shot at any of the other albums, but it's just it stands so much clearer. But anyway, he mixed No More Tears, probably Ozzy's. God, again, you know, I much like Master Puppets, not my favorite Ozzy record, but it's probably the best Ozzy record. I don't know if that makes sense to people. I think fans of our ilk typically understand what I'm saying there. Like,
I understand that.
Yeah. Skid Row, of course, he produced their first two records and then came in late to work on some of that atrocious shit they're doing lately. Striper, Soldiers Under Command, when he was at Rockin' Pod, he did the albums Unleashed with Michael Sweet up there on stage, so people could watch that live. Warrant, Dog Eat Dog, I know a lot of you guys are a big fan of that record. White Lion, he did their first two big records, Pride and Big Game. So, and that's just a summary of stuff he's worked on. He really has had an amazing career. And just congratulations on it. Officially announced on April 25th. Apparently that was his 72nd birthday. So,
nice.
All the best to you, Michael.
If you go through his whole, just type in discography, Michael Wagner, and that thing goes on forever. as far as somebody that's going to have stories. And do you mind if I just mention? Go ahead.
My personal favorite Michael Wagner story that I heard, I believe, on Decibel Geek was that he was asked to mix the Look What the Cat Dragged In record from Poison, and he had the opportunity of taking a flat fee or points on the album, and he listened to the record and took the flat fee.
Which, I mean...
Look, it was a bad business move in hindsight, but I just like that fact. He listened to it, was like... I'm going to take the guarantee payday here.
You know,
if Michael Wagner wins the lottery, he's taking the lump sum, not the payouts over time. So.
But Have you heard the album? I think he made the right decision based on that.
I think a lot of people would have made that decision that he did, yeah.
I mean, he's worked with these other bands, and he's like, you know, I don't think this is going to make it all the way. Yeah. But there's no accounting for taste, people.
Correct. Anyway.
So, yes. Good. But do you mind if I just share?
Do you have any thoughts on Mr.
Yeah,
Biden?
Absolutely. I mean, there's of these, I'm just going to list my top three on here are going to be personal favorites are going to be both the Skid Row albums, mm-hmm. Debut and Slave to the Grind, and Extreme Pornography.
Pornography, there you go.
All right, good. And Master of Puppets, those three that he was involved in, or three bands,
four records, yeah.
but the thing that's interesting too about this is that
I do think the production on Slave to the Grind might be his best. Just on the quality of the production, not talking songs, performance, anything. Just I think the sonically, that's probably my favorite sounding record he worked on as a producer.
Correct. And what's interesting about those two is that, you know, there's of those three bands, each one of them has its own different kind of mix or sound to it. There's not like he's not like a Bob Rock where you know exactly pretty much this is a Bob Rock record. So, yeah, because even the two Skid Row albums, they're different. As far as the production style and how they sound, but not even including the songwriting. So anyway, I was thrilled to meet him on the first Rockin' Pod is when I met him. And I actually brought a couple of his CDs to Slave to the Grind to sign, and really affable guy.
Yeah.
If you've heard of him on any of these Unleashed episodes on Decibel Geek, and I'm not sure who else he's given interviews to overall, but definitely a lot of stories too. So, you know, well wishes to the man if he's going to start his travels and things like that. Definitely an impact in my life as far as music. So
absolutely. All the best, Michael.
So another music news, Blaze Bailey recently made headlines when he said, "I don't know why Iron Maiden chose me to replace Bruce Dickinson." Me either. I just like the fact that every interview is always about him leaving Wolfsbane. Who is Wolfsbane? I've never heard of him.
A while back, Gene Simmons announced he's selling his house, the one that we all know from the TV show Family Jewels. Him and his lovely bride are going to apparently be moving to somewhere in Nevada. And then also they'll keep their home up there in Canada, where she's from, eh? And of course, Doc McGee was moving. Tommy Thayer was selling his house. So Paul Stanley's like, all right, enough of this shit. I'm not moving. I'm going to tear my fucking house down and just rebuild a new one. Why the fuck not? I'm fucking Paul Stanley.
So he's bored.
And this is notable for Kiss fans because Paul had something that you usually have to die to have, which is an estate sale. I'm not familiar. Are you familiar with anybody having an estate sale while they're alive?
Not really. The whole process kind of confuses me. But it's usually like That's what happens. It's part of the will. You're just like divvying up the goods.
So I'm calling bullshit. Paul just doesn't want to call it what it is, a fucking garage sale.
What are you talking about?
Yes, I think you've got it.
Paul Stanley had a fucking garage sale. And I'll just paint the picture for you a little bit. You can find the photos on my favorite website, TMZ. But yeah, apparently, you know, there was some Kiss memorabilia, but not cool stuff. It was all, you know, like leftover tour books from, you know, tours from the last decade, T-shirts from the last decade, shit that you would find at Spencer's in the last decade. So none of the really kind of really deep and coveted Kiss items that you might find in, say, Gene Simmons' office. Yeah, and then, of course, like, you can. It's like, here's a table that I used. He had an array of picture frames with pictures taken out, so they're just empty picture frames, and they got those little, like, little garage sale stickers on them, you know what I mean? And so all these photos show these things. It's like, you know, you can buy my shower. You can buy all this stuff that Paul Stanley used. A sofa, just basically an entire kitchen if you want. And by the way, Paul, beautiful house. Although your decorating taste is a little tacky. But yeah. Mrs. Paul Stanley, though. I mean, who knows? But don't you think that Paul Stanley has a pretty heavy hand in the decorating of his entire house?
Yes.
I mean, I have one room in the house and then the basement that technically, if you want to call the basement decorated, yeah, that's my taste. But
I'm going to tell you, too, all those pictures that were removed from those frames are pictures of him. Just him, not family, him.
I disagree because they would have just autographed him and then jacked up the price.
Oh, that's true. Or it would have been like a photo where he like just dribbled some of his paint, his watercolors on it and called it a new art piece.
But I want to pull you back a little bit. How much of your house does your wife let you decorate?
This. And that's only one wall in here. It's the wall you can't see, this wall over here.
And even then, you ended up embarrassing some contractor by having some socks hanging on a wall.
Exactly. That and for like different meetings. I had the Cobras and Fire poster over here, but now it can't be there because now there's video conferences. In short, yes.
Okay.
I don't have the whole thing like the Stanley has. I'm guessing all these frames are very shiny too. A lot of bling, a lot of
They were gaudy and kind of tacky.
That's what I mean.
I don't even know if I would have bought one of them, but
sure.
I'm a pretty classic guy. You know, I've recently bought a bunch of frames and they're black with glass. That's it.
Yeah, I'm gonna say it looks almost like Liberace's garage sale, just slightly toned down.
That's a good. I think that's an apt
the decor. I mean,
yeah,
the decor
it's like Liberace on two. You know, if Liberace is a full 10 the whole time, Paul's like Liberace on 2.5 maybe.
Right. So, any specific items you want to? There's a wish list that I have. I've already started writing down since you.
What do you got?
Please list. I'm hoping that there's already thousands of cut-out bin versions of Soul Station that he's selling. Is that accurate?
That'll be in about 2 weeks. There's a little bit longer ago.
Okay. So there's a little bit of a time delay for that.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. Do they still have cut-out bins?
I was just going to say the same thing. I think
he's doing it himself. He's actually doing the cutting. What do you think?
I think they just do such limited pressings nowadays, the cut-out bins. Yeah, he's sitting there with a fucking pair of scissors. Or maybe he prefer, you know, they still call them cutouts, but a lot of them were drilled. Maybe he's sitting there with the fucking, you know, craftsman drill going, droom, wing, nice. Wing.
I'm hoping for him too,
not too bad.
That kind of like the whole Star Wars holiday special that he has the Blu-ray version of the Folgers commercial.
Yeah,
that he did.
Yeah,
what do you think?
Maybe. Yeah,
full 7.1 surround sound for that 30 seconds of glory, or all the outtakes. What about he had like a 2-hour version of them filming that day, just the backstage in the raw footage.
I was hoping there'd be like piles of scarves, but then I'm like, well, he's not getting rid of those.
Oh, come on! He's got to still go on bike rides.
Some satin shirts.
Yeah, no way. He's got to go to Trader Joe's, look good.
Well, he could get a new bike. Maybe he could sell his old bike that he's had for 20 years that still runs great.
I'd like to see his bike that you just know it's – he doesn't actually put like my kids, I put their name and the phone number in case I'm a good person, returns it or whatever. He just wraps scarves all around it. What do you think? Just identifying it.
Gets caught
instead
in the chain.
Instead of putting the baseball cards and the he just puts scarves in the spokes.
You remember when your jean leg would get caught in the chain, get all ripped up? your cuff of your pants.
What I mean?
He's got fucking scarves just being yanked off him because it's getting caught in shit.
Exactly. Always have spare scarves. Yeah. I think that's a good mantra. But go ahead.
Yeah.
No, what else?
I don't know. I mean, I didn't see anything that was to my liking, but other than maybe his guest house, could I just buy the guest house?
I'm sure you could. I'm sure there's some kind of agreement that could be.
I want to know if they're going to like have like a trailer park trailer that they're all going to live in while the house is demolished and rebuilt. And because he's got kind of the large clan. Maybe he would get a double wide plop down for the temporary housing. He's got 5 kids, 4 of them still at home, something like that.
I didn't even know that.
Well, I guess I'd have no idea where his oldest lives when he's not making horrible pop music. Maybe he has some like rejected rose tattoo ideas before he picked the one. He has like a sheet.
Oh, you're talking about his tattoo?
Mm-hmm. Maybe he designed a bunch of different ones before going with the one he got. I don't know.
Was one of them Calvin from Calvin Hobbs taking a piss on Gene Simmons' asshole album?
Oh, nice. Yeah. He's actually has that tattoo, but it's in a place that doesn't get seen too often. Paul Stanley's tramp stamp is that.
Oh, beautiful.
His Tijuana license plate is Calvin and Hobbes, or Calvin pissing on Gene Simmons' asshole. I mean, it's just pissing into Gene's mouth, or maybe he's got Calvin pissing into his own mouth. I don't know.
Sure. I think that's just always a good tattoo to go with.
He still has that cathode ray tube IBM PC that he logs in via dial-up to check his tweets. Time for some tweets.
I think he does. Also, I was wondering how many indoor swings were being sold.
Only a couple. He must have kept most of them. Okay. You know, they're custom built for him. You know, to hold the giant desktop computer and him.
I just imagine him in the morning getting out of bed. And just like he does that thing where he goes to the center of the arena, he uses that to get to the kitchen in the morning, whatever that thing he does.
Yeah.
He has a whole system of those getting to each room. He always puts one
to the house
out.
like some kind of Cirque du Soleil act.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Or maybe Tarzan.
But when he gets on there, when he's done having his breakfast, because he thrives for that on stage high, he just finishes his Frosted Flakes, then gets on there and there's like a soundtrack that kicks in as soon as he goes room to room.
It's not Frosted Flakes. He's French pressing Folgers and eating some fruit, maybe a couple almonds.
But anytime like his kids are saying, "Dad, come here, I want to talk to you." He's like, "I can't hear you. Come on, say it again." And then he gets on his thing. What do you think?
Well, no, he says, "I can't hear you. This ear doesn't work."
You got it. You're flaunting. You got it. Looking at a unicorn. You take it on the chin, but you buckle down quick. There's nothing out there you can't do. The only thing that's stopping you, take the first step. I swear to God, what I say is true. It'll be alright, you'll be satisfied, and in no time you'll get it together. But you gotta let everybody know it's only fair. Rise up when you're feeling it better. You got it. You're floating. You got it. You're floating.
Yeah, that's why he says, I can't hear you so often, because his head's turned the wrong way.
That's correct. that's right. As we are an educational podcast, I wanted to share an article from harvard.edu that I was reading the other day, if I may.
Yes. Is that where Luce Sr. went to school?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, he did. Yes, got his PhD.
Bought his first Bang & Olufsen when he was living there.
That's right. Yeah. That's Bang & Olufsen stereo.
Yeah,
it's very nice. Very good. Very good. High fidelity. but yes. Yeah, so anyway, and there was a recent survey that concluded from 932 conversations between pairs of people that found that only 2% of the time those conversations ended when they were supposed to.
And how many people were involved in the survey?
It's 932 conversations between pairs of people finds that most conversations don't end when the participants want them to.
And what was the percentage that it did?
Only 2% of conversations ended when both people wanted them to, according to the research.
So that's roughly 10 total conversations out of 1,000. I'm guessing 10 of those times were when somebody called you.
That was not part of it. Okay.
I can guarantee I don't have too many conversations with you that go longer than they need to or want to. They're usually very, very succinct, to the point. I think you have... although very blunt and at sometimes rude phone skills, they're very purposeful and to the, I don't know, they get you moving. You know what I mean? On with your day.
Yeah. I would say for the most part, 100% of my conversations end with that when I want them to. And that's part of it here too. First off, when I read this though, the headline was that only 2% of conversations end when people want them to. So yeah. I'm just imagining that we live in a world where people are like, sweet Jesus, shut the fuck up all the time. that's how I first read this article. It's been like, is everybody want the conversations just to stop? Because I will say that there's definitely situations in life like the conversation with the checkout clerk that asked me, so what you got going on today? That conversation I want to end 100% of the time. I mean, where are you going to go with that? Yeah, I'm here. I'm getting some groceries. Then I'm going to go home, right?
I have a couple examples of scenarios that have happened frequently that I struggle with, very much like you're talking. Like,
please, go ahead.
Getting my hair cut.
Okay.
You know, I don't have a regular stylist anymore, so I don't have any relationship. So when they start getting into, so, got any plans today? It's Tuesday and it's 5:30. Yeah, I got a fucking huge evening planned. I just got off work. I'm getting my hair cut and I'm going the fuck home. What more are we going to, you know, and it's just, at the same time, I kind of feel bad. They're just trying to probably make their day go by a little better and also offer some customer service. So I try to keep, but I have no idea what to say. I'm just not built that way. Right. I just can't. The other one is when we were gigging. Every now and then, about, I don't know, maybe one in every four shows, somebody very earnestly and in good spirits would want to talk to me between sets about gear. And I can talk to like someone about gear when I'm interested in what I'm like buying or something like that. But like, I just freeze. My brain goes dead. It's like, well, I got a guitar cable. That's my guitar. You know, but it's just really nerve wracking, and I always just I solved that one fairly early on. I'm like, and like I would bring trouble into the conversation, pass this person off to them like a wingman, and then carry on with my business. And he was much better at it, and would placate the young man. But so those are two things that came to mind. But yeah, the haircut thing is still a struggle.
The other one that I want to end 100% of the time is when I am asked, again, customer service people just trying to be nice, but it's something that I've never understood. This question is, did you find everything okay?
How about when you're in the Spencer's and they go, can I help you find anything? It's like, yeah, do you have a beaded curtain made of little pot leaves? I'm also looking for an ice cube tray of dicks and a shirt that says "fuck you, you fucking fuck." Do you happen to know where those three very? I mean, such a random store that literally part of their training for that store should be never ask a question. This question here because that's stupid. People come here to look at the shit and maybe buy something. You
and
know?
Make poor buying decisions. Poor,
yeah. Anyway.
Oh my god. Yeah. So there's that. And by the way, just for fun. When somebody asks that, you know, did you find everything okay today? Just say no.
Yeah.
See what the follow-up question is because there is none. Yeah. There's just typing on and trying to push you out because then that is a conversation they don't want to have 100% of the time, okay?
I have to admit, now, maybe it'll change now. Maybe you've kind of shattered that bulb with me. That one question at that stage never phases me. I also try to, because of the world we live in, I try to assume that somebody was probably really shitty to this person at some point. So when I'm dealing with anybody in retail or restaurants, I just try to be maybe a little nicer than anything. But at the same time, I just say yes.
As do I.
Okay.
I've only done it a few times. My point is, for a social experiment, for the pure research, say no. And say nothing else. And see what happens. That's it. Not being mean. It's a question. Maybe you didn't find something.
But say it like this, like, no.
That's fine. Perfect inflection. Try it out, people. Cobra hack. See what happens. Report back. Anyway.
I have another thing. If you do want to have some fun, especially if you're with your wife and you're just in the store that you're not looking for a fucking thing. If someone comes, hey, is there anything I can help you find? It's like, just say, no, I'm here for shoplifting.
It's just little things. Now, I thought it was that conversations were always too long, but it's two reasons. Okay. It's one. People don't want to talk for the same amount of time, so they have a coordination problem to solve. Two, they don't know what the other person wants, so however they want to solve that problem, they can't do it because they need to know what the other person wanted. And the other part is politeness. You don't abruptly stop talking to somebody and walk away because it's not kind.
Right.
I have no issue with that last part.
Absolutely. You
like,
do not.
I can just, there's all, you can fake an injury. My phone's at 3%. You can just hit a button and say it's technology. There's all kinds of ways to end the conversation quickly. And you've experienced all of them.
I learned to, it's a little off-putting when someone first gets to know you, but you learn to kind of embrace it and roll with it, and it's not a deal at all.
But do you do this slow walk away, though, when you're talking to somebody and you're about done with the conversation? Oh, they're more, going, you take
at work,
one step
there's
back?
At least, there's always one guy over the years. It's been different people, but like they're literally still talking to you to the back of your head while you're across the shop, and they can't possibly think you can hear anything they say. But yeah,
fair enough.
I those people that just don't know when to fucking shut up, especially at work. It's like, you understand we are working here. I maybe want to actually get to my job so I can go home at some point. You clearly just want to talk to me.
And also, it doesn't reveal the ages of people here, because I'll tell you also, people that 100% of the time want the conversation to end is in business. If I ever call anybody that's less than 33 years old versus texting or emailing them, they immediately are like, what is this phone? Why is this person talking to me? Couldn't this have been solved with a quick text?
Yeah.
Right? So this, I am telling you that this will continue. I would say in 5 years, this survey is going to find that 100% of the time, nobody wants to talk to anybody. What do you think?
I think we're definitely heading that way. I mean, if we're going to follow the way things are trending, spelling and the ability to talk to people are just going to be shot.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Autocorrect is going to fucking end tons of miscommunications. And, you know.
Yeah. All I got to say is that 20 years ago or 25 years ago, I remember when one of my employees quit by fax. I got a fax one morning. It just says, I hereby terminate. I was like, that is a balls move. That's standard now. That's how people end relationships is by texts and stuff like that. So I 100% agree. So just realize Harvard has confirmed that when you are talking to somebody, if you have any I have a lot of anxiety. So for those out there that already have social anxiety, this should just take it next level, because there's a very good chance that from the moment you start talking to somebody, 98%, this conversation is going on too long. So just know that we're helping you out here. We're giving you more issues to deal with. If you have if you're getting those that courage to go and talk to that person that you wanna you're interested in things like that, just realize when the conversation starts, they probably want you to shut the fuck up. 98% chance per Harvard. So enjoy your day.
I think my wife would say 100% of conversations that I start go too long.
See, that's what I'm saying. So, and I think this episode's gone too long. What do you think? I think people, podcasts, if they're more than 15 minutes, you better shut up.
Yeah, this has gone on a little too much. Let's get out of here.
Rock's not dead.
You just got to find the right detour. You know, I think I'm a fairly good typer, but that sounded like about 90 words a minute.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Frenino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.